Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Podcast.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was the intro. Hi, yeah. I'm Ben. I write some videos here at HowStuffWorks.com, and as always, I'm hanging out with...
It's me. I'm Scott. I'm also the... Well, I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, the auto editor. You got me thrown with the Batman theme.
Every once in a while. I think people saw the title of the episode when they were clicking on it, so they expected a bit of nerdiness. Mm-hmm. So,
a lot of the trumpets and all that stuff. Background singers.
Trumpets. Oh, Batman. Man. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, okay, the Batmobile, obviously, Scott, you and I were pretty keen on this idea because mm-hmm. I love Batman, huge fan of comic books, mm-hmm. and you love cars.
Yep.
And, I like cars, too.
And when we talked about movie cars, or rather television cars.
Yes.
We talked about movie cars as well because there's a Batmobile in the movies, of course. Mm-hmm. We talked about it during television cars, and... I remember clearly that's the car I picked that I would like to drive all of them. And I think maybe you even seconded that.
I absolutely said I will second you still on that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think we both agree that the original Batmobile would be mm-hmm. the one that we would like to drive.
And somebody else agreed too, didn't they?
Yeah, we've got a couple of listener mail suggestions here that mention the Batmobile. And I'll just quickly go through them here. But the first one is from John in Toronto, Ontario. And he says he's listening to the podcast, had another concept car to suggest that did not make it past the concept stage, but turned out to be a very famous car that was recognized by many. The 1955, well, should I hold off on the information?
Maybe let's hold off just a second.
I think I will. Yeah. But he says that this car didn't go very far, and after sitting around for several years rusting out, it was turned into the Batmobile. So we'll leave that up for some discussion here in a moment. And let's see, also Katie. And Katie says, oh, you know what? I'm going to read something else that Katie mentioned as well.
All right.
This is from a while back. This is from, like, back in the summer. She was commenting on the TV Cars episode and the Movie Cars episode. But she does mention the Batmobile later. she says, in all caps, Matt Damon... growing up watching this boy in his Calvins, I'll be happy to correct you. Mark Wahlberg is in the new Italian Job. We had said Matt Damon was in the new Italian Job.
Oh gosh, sorry, Katie.
So, okay. So she says you both know your cars, but you suck at actor names. So,
that's true.
She's right, and I admit to that.
I admit to that too.
Yeah. I think I admitted to that up front early on in that episode, even. But
that's true. I was fighting it, but
thank
I've come
you, Katie,
to grips
for
with it.
Pointing out that a long time ago. I hope we're. Mm-hmm. Still getting to
it
you
took
here,
us a while to get there emotionally.
And then,
you're right.
Later in the end of this this email here, she says that she's looking forward to an episode devoted to 007 cars, which we did.
We did do that,
and also Batmobiles. So that was our second suggestion from Katie, and Katie is in Lexington, Kentucky.
Awesome. Well, John and Katie,
yep,
want to know about the Batmobile.
Here we go. And you want me to just hit him with it right now, where that came from?
Yes.
Okay. The original Batmobile. Batmobile that was in the television series in the mm-hmm. 60s. That came from a real car that was a concept car that made the auto show circuit. Mm-hmm. It was a 1955 Lincoln Futura concept car.
Futura,
that's right. And it was designed and built by the Lincoln division of Ford Motor Company, but it was hand-built in Turin, Italy. And so it was one of a kind. It mm-hmm. cost about, and this is 1955, remember, mm-hmm. cost about $250,000 to build this, this Lincoln concept car at the time because it's a one of a kind. You know how difficult it is to make a single vehicle.
Sure. Fabricate all the pieces.
Exactly. Everything is new. I mean, I'm sure there's some underpinnings that were used, but all handmade bodywork. But it never went into production. And it just kind of went away at a certain point. Well, mm-hmm. later, a car customizer in Hollywood, his name is George Barris, and we've talked about George Barris, of course, during the television car episode. He got his hands on the car, and he bought it directly from Ford in the 1960s. Guess the price. You already know that, don't you? Good.
No, I don't know.
You really don't know?
I really don't know.
$1. He bought the car for $1.
Really?
Yeah, $1.
Huh.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, here's a car that Ford paid $250,000 for in the 50s. It's the mid-60s, and he buys it for $1 from Ford. And it goes on to become probably one of the most famous, arguably one of the most famous TV cars around, the Batmobile.
We should have called this the $1 car.
Yeah, we should have. Yeah. So in 1965, here's what goes down. The Batman producers, they went to George with this project to build a Batmobile for the TV show. And here's the catch, though. He had 3 weeks to get it done because they had contracted somebody else to do it, and they couldn't do it for whatever reason. I don't remember exactly the details surrounding that, but he only had 3 weeks to get this thing put together. So he looks at this Futura in his shop or wherever it was, and he says, you know what? I think I'm going to use this car as my basis, and this has already got a lot of...
looks bat-like.
A lot of bat characteristics. Very bat-like in his garage, I guess. And... you know, if you look at the original pictures of the Futura, you can definitely see where his idea for the Batmobile came from. It's just a modified version of what was on the showroom floor, or the auto show floor, I should say. So, anyways, he took this this Futura, and he in 3 weeks he built a car that was able to be on the set of Batman for the initial filming for the pilot episode. I don't think it was pretty interesting. I mean, it turned out really well. They loved it. It had all the gadgets that they had, required him to install on this thing. They didn't know the exact design because he was a customizer, and they kind of let him go with it. But I'm sure there was a lot of back and forth decisions being made between the studio and Barris. But it turned out really well. I mean, and of course, iconic car. Everybody loves it.
And let's just emphasize one more time: 3 weeks. Three weeks to do that. I mean, he didn't build the car from scratch.
No. He had...
But he definitely had... We're talking an astonishing amount of skill.
He did. He had... you know what? I'll find it in a second here, but he had six people working on that car with him.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? I've got it right here. He had the actual people listed as customizers were, of course, George Barris. Mm-hmm. He had Gail Black, Bill Cushenberry... Richard Corky Corks, Les Tompkins, and Roy Tubbs Johnson. Those are the list of customizers that worked on the original Batmobile.
Oh God, I'm glad no one gave us the nickname Tubbs.
Yeah, or Corky.
Yeah.
Well, not Tubbs.
I've been trying out Mr.
I'd be Tubbs.
B.
Hey, you could be Crockett. I could be Tubbs.
You don't want to be Tubbs, dude. Tubbs.
Well,
is...
I'm a little tubby.
You're not.
At home, I call my dog Tubbs sometimes.
Well, then that's weird, because then you'll feel like we're talking to your dog.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. All right. Yeah, all right. Okay. Anyway. But anyway. So we've got these six customizers, 3 weeks, and they produce what becomes, for a lot of people, I would argue a generation or more, one of the most iconic cars of their childhood, or let's be honest, their late 20s.
I think so. I mean, look, I mean, even now, I'd still be happy to drive in that thing, just to get a ride in that car.
And it's interesting when we look at this, because we've already covered some of the terrible mishaps that happened to concept cars on their way to one day becoming production cars.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it really makes you think about how many other concept cars could find a second life.
You know what I often think, and I've this is something off topic, and I'm just kind of winging this right now. But
wing it.
You remember that the Batmobile didn't really gain popularity until the mid-60s, and it became very popular, just out there in the public eye. In the mid-50s is when it, and I'm going to say it failed because it didn't go into production. Maybe it never had the plan. Maybe it was just some innovative ideas that made it into production. But with the Futura not making it in the early 50s, I wonder if Ford was kind of scratching their chin saying, maybe we need to bring something like this back in the mid-60s, and... offer something that looks a little bit like the Batmobile. I mean, there had to have been some reasons why they couldn't do it. Of course, it had had the bubble canopies and everything. It was a pretty dramatic car.
Never successfully sold.
No, exactly. And but I was thinking that with the popularity of the Batman TV show behind it, because this thing was wildly popular at the time. It spawned an awful lot of merchandising. There were toys. There were everything. There were lunchboxes. There were models made. There were all kinds of...
There were little kitty cars.
Exactly. Kitty cars. There was everything. Of course, T-shirts and anything you can imagine with Batman on it and the Batmobile. And I think that, maybe later in the 60s, a design like that might have sold if Ford had gone through with the design, or Lincoln had gone through with the design.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Maybe not.
Also, since we're winging it, I'm going to flap my wings for a second here. Do you remember when Batman the Batman franchise came out with the movies, the first one, and Katie, don't get insulted, but I'm pretty sure it was Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Oh, we're both so scared now.
Yeah, no, it is. It was, I believe.
I think it was.
I believe it. I actually waited in line to see that movie. Not you know, 24 hours or anything
like that.
But, I mean, I remember waiting in line for a ticket for that movie.
I thought it was pretty awesome. And we're not going to talk about those today, but I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to those other Batman vehicles. And, you know, maybe if people want to hear about them, maybe we could do a 007 on those.
Oh, but. Yeah. Yeah, because there were other versions for the movies. There was that cool-looking the long, thin black one.
Yeah, it was so,
like
there
a
was
turbine
some,
or something.
Something almost 1920s about it. It was as though they had built a turbine car in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And that one in the newer Batman franchise is actually a functioning vehicle.
Yeah, that's a really cool one, too, that kind of tumbling vehicle. Is
that's
that
so cool. I would drive one, except I think that I really need the consequences of wrecking to keep me in line on the road. And if I had a vehicle like that, man, who knows? I'd go power mad.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but let's get back to the original Batmobile just for a second, then we'll wrap it up here. But I do want to mention that there's not just one Batmobile.
What?
The original Batmobile. Now, we say the original, but there is only one original, of course. There were replicas made. And
for stunts, maybe? No,
these were made because of the intense popularity of the Batmobile at the time. Mm-hmm. There was a schedule that it had to make appearances all over the place.
Oh.
So you're talking about something that's really for, like, you know, potential bookings, like marketing and exhibitions and things like that. You know, like the World of Wheels or whatever, you know, was going on at the time.
Hey, kids, come see Batman.
Exactly, and the original Batmobile. Mm-hmm. Well, these were replicas that were formed directly from the original that Barris had. So the original, if you want to, I mean, I've got a list here of, you know, all the way that they're similar and the way that they differ. I won't go through all of them, but just a quick idea that the original was built in 1965, in October of 1965. The replicas, and there were three replicas, so there's a total of four what you would call the original Batmobiles.
Really?
If you count the three replicas.
I'm counting them.
Okay, so the original and then three replicas. And they go by number two, number three, and number four.
All right,
so two, three, and four were built in November of 1966. So they were built a year later because they did realize that this was so popular they needed to get it out into the public eye, and it helped with the series, the television series, promoting it. The body on the original was steel, of course. And the replicas are all three fiberglass. The chassis for the original is, of course, the 55 Lincoln Futura, which is a concept car. The other three were built on a 1965 or 1966 Ford Galaxy chassis.
Oh, okay.
That was, so they had a production vehicle that they stretched the chassis 11 inches to make it fit because it had a longer body work. So you can imagine the size of that thing, too. It's a long vehicle.
Yeah.
All three of those are that way. The engine differences. Now, this is kind of interesting. The original had a 390 cubic inch V8, and so did replica number two. Number three has a 352 V8. Number four stepped all the way up to a 428.
Really?
So number four has a 428 cubic inch V8, and they call that one the Dragster for good reason.
That's the one we want.
Yeah, exactly, the Dragster. Yeah. Well, the original would be great, but the Dragster because it has the power. That was the one that actually toured the U.S. and kind of went to a lot of different exhibition drag races and actually raced against other people and just exhibition runs.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it really is cool. So you'd see the real Dragster, the real Batmobile running at the race course. And I've seen a lot of signed photographs of this thing on the track. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. The original, of course, because it was steel versus fiberglass, weighed 5,500 pounds versus the replicas, which only weighed 3,800 pounds.
Wow.
So, again, you've got that number four replica that weighs 3,800 pounds with the 428, which is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's just okay, I'll just go one more quick thing. Two things, really. The current owner is listed in wherever I got this from. I'll have to look.
You're reading
up.
My mind, man. This is what I want to know. Where are these cars now?
Okay, good. George Barris still owns the original.
I'm not mad at him.
North
that's
Hollywood,
fair.
California. Of course it's fair.
That's fair.
I'll tell you the estimated value in a moment of the original. But George Barris has the original. And he's the original owner, of course.
Sure.
Someone named Dr. Dave Anderson in Virginia owns the other one, the second one.
Dr. Dave, cool name.
Well, that's
he
what
deserves
they say.
It.
Yeah. These are cars, so they could switch hands. It may have been sold last weekend. I don't know. You
Fair
just
enough.
Never know.
Fair
The Hart Collection in Redmond, Washington, owns number 3. And then someone named Doug Jackson in Southern California owns number 4, the dragster. And the estimated value, number 3 and 4 have an estimated value around $217,000.
Okay.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
Pretty good. The replica number 2 has an unknown value. I don't know why they place it unknown. Maybe it's just what he paid for it because it's the last known price.
Okay.
Estimated value of the original. Care to guess?
Come on, Scott. All right, man. $800,000?
Up. A little higher.
Million?
Higher.
$1.2 million?
I'm just going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
$2 million.
Oh.
It's estimated that the original Batmobile is $2 million in value, and that's the one that Barris has.
Oh, Scott.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the original, though. That's the. Oh, you know what? One more quick thing, and then we're done.
Let's do it. I promise.
They all have this finish on them now. Remember, we see it as like a shiny black car?
Yes.
They now have what's called bat fuzz on them.
Bat fuzz?
Bat fuzz, yeah. And this is I thought this was really interesting because I had no idea.
Is it intentionally supposed to look like?
It's fuzzy. Yeah, it looks like a bat. And the reason that it has this, it's a velvety finish that was applied or sprayed on the surface.
Yeah.
It was put on the vehicles in the early 1970s because all the cars were beginning to get covered with little stress fractures and cracks.
Right.
Because black paint shows a lot of flaws, shows cracks and dents and dings. And, of course, these are working vehicles. They were on the set in action.
Yeah.
This bat fuzz paint was meant to just hide the imperfections. It's kind of a matte finish. So, like, imagine, we put stuff to dull the lights so that,
sure.
Maybe you don't get that reflection. The exact same idea with the bat fuzz.
Bat fuzz.
Bat fuzz, yeah. All the cars are covered with bat fuzz, so they've got this this really weird finish, like a velvety finish to them if you touch them.
I just want to say it one more time. Bat fuzz.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I promised you, didn't I?
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
I'm gonna give you a time waster here.
Waste my time, dude.
HolySmokesBatman.com. Go to HolySmokesBatman.com.
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 All one word.
Yep. Listen to, you select listen to all the holy blank Batmans, and or you can view these and select them one at a time and listen to them. You just download them.
Get your favorites.
But where Robin says holy something Batman.
Yeah, like holy hand grenade Batman.
Exactly. And if you select listen to all the holy blank Batmans, there is a list of, there must be, Ben, I would guess 300 of these, and they will go in order all the way down the list, and you can watch them as they play. And some of them have a little bit of background with them. Others are just Robin saying, holy popcorn Batman.
Yeah.
Holy polar ice sheet Batman. Mm-hmm. Holy tee shot Batman. That type of thing. It's crazy. It's really funny, but, you just wonder what context these were in because he's talking about all kinds of different things, and you can't imagine what situations they were in.
Maybe that's how we should have opened it. Maybe I should have done a holy something.
Yeah, there's a million of them, and they're funny, I tell you. If you go there and listen to all of them, I just kind of let it play as I was doing other work. Some of them I had to back up and play again because I couldn't believe he was saying what he was.
I've tried to do that sort of formula for a joke sometimes, and maybe it's because they were strangers or whatever that I was saying it to. I'm kidding. It doesn't work, though. I don't have the panache or whatever it is you need.
Yeah, holysmokesbatman.com. It's very funny.
Oh, I do have one for you.
Okay.
Holy listener mail.
Fantastic.
All right, so Chris writes in, and Chris is responding to our podcast on interstate highways. And Chris is a highway engineer, so he had an answer. You remember, Scott, we asked people to verify that vertical clearance question?
I do.
Yeah, so he writes in and says, the highway design specifications were indeed intended to serve the military's needs, because back in the 1950s, when the interstate highway idea was proposed, traffic was not nearly as voluminous.
Correct.
As present day, so the vertical height would have been set to the military specs. Incidentally, for the National Interstate Highway System, the minimal vertical overhead clearance for new and rebuilt highways is 16 feet plus, and an additional 6 inches to account for future highway pavement overlays.
Okay, so when they're originally built at 16 feet, 6 inches at minimum, right?
Yeah, and that makes sense because every time they repave the road, the surface goes up a little, yeah. which I didn't think about.
Yeah.
And anything else requires a sign that warns you that it's less than 16 feet.
Very good. Okay.
So thank you, Chris, from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, for breaking that down for us. And see, that's what I've got. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah? All right. Well, everybody, once again, Scott and I are going to retreat into
the Batcave.
Into the Batcave of Studio 1A, and we're going to leave you with one last message, which is, of course, how much we love listener mail, because we do, right, Scott?
We do.
All right, so if anybody wants to send us a topic or a suggestion or a joke or maybe a recommendation of a good restaurant or
really
good
a
car,
joke? You want them to send jokes?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of opening a door there.
Okay,
good jokes. That's not going to help. All right, where
no,
does
that doesn't help. That's all in the eye of the beholder.
Right, right. The ear?
The ear of the beholder.
Yeah, oh, okay. Man. All right, what's the email address?
Email address is highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.